Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Mem Aleph. Today's Gemara is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Hayim Ben Sara. Alav Shalom, Mr. Victor Shem Tov. Tinish Matot Zerurah B'Sorah Hayim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilu Nishmat Hachem Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Mem Amud Bet. And we're on the bottom, three lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Ve'amar Rava, Rava said, Ki havinan be Rav Huna, when we were in the yeshiva of Rav Huna, Ibayalan. Question was asked, Bar be Rav, a certain Talmid Chacham, Diyati, Betanita, Bemale, Shabbeta. He's involved in a fast on Friday. Talmid Achamim used to fast on Friday many times in order to go into Shabbat, either with an appetite or as a teshuvah that they would make on Friday in order that they would have tahara before they would go into the Shabbat. So the Gemara wants to know, when they fast on Friday, do they have to finish the fast? I mean, do they go all the way until sunset? Or do they break the fast a little before Shabbat in order not to go into Shabbat fasting? So the Gemara says, the question was asked, Lo hava biyadeh. But he did not have the answer. Atay lekamed Rav Yehuda, so they came in front of Rav Yehuda, it's the same question, Lo hava biyadeh. He also did not have the answer to the question. Amar Rava, nechzeyeh anan. So Rava said, let's check it up ourselves if we can get the answer. Detanya, we have a beraita. Tsha'be'av shechaliyot b'shabbat. Let's say you have a case of Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbat. V'chen, similarly, Ereb Tisha B'Av shechaliyot b'shabbat. Or let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday. That means Erev Tisha B'Av is on Shabbat. So the Beraita says, Ochel v'shote kol tzorko. A person on that Shabbat, either it's Shabbat Tisha B'Av or Shabbat Erev Tisha B'Av, he can eat as much as he wants on that Shabbat. U'ma'ale al shulchano, and he can bring food on his table. Afilu kis'udat shelomo b'sha'ato. Even like Shlomo HaMelech in his time. Meaning he can bring as much food as he wants. What does it mean, Shlomo HaMelech in his time? Because Shlomo HaMelech had two times in his life. He was king, and then he became a hediot, which means he was deposed. So therefore they're saying, Beshato, in his time, when he was king, when he was able to afford everything. Now, Haliyot Tisha B'Av Be'erev Shabbat. Now let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday. Now of course, according to our calendar, the way it works out, Tisha B'Av cannot fall out on a Friday anymore. But in the olden days, when it used to go according to the witnesses making the, you know, the Shech HaDashim, it was possible that Shabbat falls out on a Friday. So what does the Braita say? Mivi'im lo kabetza ve'ochel. So right before Shabbat, of course he's fasting that Friday, then right before Shabbat, they bring him like a kabetza's worth of food, let's say 2 ounces worth of food, in order to eat. Kedesh shelo yikanes l'Shabbat kishehu me'uneh. In order that he shouldn't enter the Shabbat when he is fasting. Again, the Mefashim are explaining over here, because we don't want a person to fast on Shabbat. Shabbat, it says, is onig. And some want to say even it's Isur Deoraita to fast on the Shabbat, or go into the Shabbat fasting. So therefore they would bring the person a kabetza's worth of food. The Rashash understands over here that it's dafka kabetza. But more than a kabetza already, that's not not necessary, because kabetza should be enough to satiate. And then even, what do you see from here? That you're not supposed to fast a full day on Friday. V'tanya, we have a braita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Tamachat in Yoshim Nefnei Rabbi Akiva. We're sitting in front of Rabbi Akiva. V'tisha B'Av shechaliyot b'erev Shabbat haya. And it was Tisha B'Av that fell out on a Friday. Ve'viu lo betza migulgelet. So they brought him a roasted egg. Ve'gam'a ve'lo melach. And he swallowed it without salt. Ve'lo shayat ta'evla. And not because he was hungry for it. Ela leharot the talmidim, in order to show the talmidim halakha, which means he wanted to show that you have to eat something before Shabbat. So therefore, he told them, bring me a betzah, bring me an egg. He didn't want to enjoy it, so he told them, don't bring it with salt. But he wanted to show them the halakha is what? That you don't go into Shabbat with a Thursday. So comes the Gemara and says, if there's a Maharam Miprag over here, the Maharam Miprag asks, according to Rabbi Akiva, he was trying to teach the students a halakha that what? That you're not allowed to go into Shabbat fasting. So that's why he opted to eat the egg. So the Maharal asks, what does it mean when it says that not because he was hungry for it, but in order to show the students, implying that the way he asked the question is, even without the students he had to eat. Which is not saying the students weren't there. Halakha says you can't go into Shabbat fasting, he should have eaten regardless. So what does it mean, la'ar'ot la'talmidim? And if he was alone, he wouldn't eat. If the halakha is that you have to eat something before Shabbat, so it doesn't matter. So he wants to say a hiddush over here that could be it's only talking about where you're hungry. But if you're not hungry, so then you're not going into Shabbat me'uneh, you're not going into Shabbat suffering. So therefore, in this case, he really wasn't hungry. But what? He just specifically ate in order to show the Talmidim. Meaning if he was alone, could be he wouldn't have eaten, because you don't have the Isur over here of going into Shabbat Me'onah. And that's why he ate it without salt. Because he really didn't need to satisfy himself. So that's the way the Biyuda understands the story of Rabbi Akiva. So that really answers our original question. That you cannot finish the fast on a Friday. Comes again on us, Rabbi Yose Omer. Rabbi Yose argues. He argues on the Biyuda. He says, no, you fast and you finish the fast. Did Rabbi Yose know about the story of Rabbi Akiva? So there's a very interesting Rabbeinu Hananel over here. And the Tav Tosfot brings it down. So look at the Tav Tosfot. Beperush Rah. Kabbalah biyadenu. We have a tradition. Ki Rabbi Akiva ota shana misukan haya. Rabbi Akiva that year that he ate on Chabeav, he was actually in danger. Ve'viu Rabbi Akiva harofim. So they brought him the doctors, legameya betzam migulgelet ba'acharit hayom. So they brought him to eat it at the end of the day because he was sick. Ve'Rabbi Yehuda lo dikdek. Rabbi Yehuda was not careful to get the story right. Ve'fikach samach al ma shera'a. He just saw Rabbi Akiva eating an egg at the end of the day, so he assumed the halakha is what? You don't finish the fast day. Velo yada aikar al ma'asakach. He didn't know the real reason why such a thing happened. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yose is saying. This is saying, no, forget about the fact that Rabbi Akiva ate on that day. On the contrary, he was sick. It was by the doctor's order. And therefore, we have no daya. Amar lahen Rabbi Yose. So Rabbi Yose comes along and says, I'atem modim li b'cha'be'av shehaliyot be'had b'shabbat. Don't you agree to me that let's say cha'be'av falls out on Sunday, shemafsik mebe'od yom, that what? That you stop eating mebe'od yom, which means the fast when it comes out on Sunday, you start fasting on the Shabbat, meaning the day before. So Rabbi Yosef is trying to say, just like you start fasting on Shabbat, going into Tisha B'Av, which is on a Sunday, so therefore you could finish the fast when Shabbat comes out on a Friday, into Shabbat. So it's like going into the fast, you started on Shabbat, so therefore ending the fast, you could also end it into Shabbat. That's Rabbi Yosef's contention. Amru lo aval. So they tell him, yeah, this is true, we agree. Oh, so you agree? Amar lahen, ma li likanes ba kishu me'uneh, ma li latzit memena kishu me'uneh. So then what's the difference? Which means, the way that she does, ma li likanes kishu me'uneh, which means going into Shabbat. That's the kanes, meaning you finish the fast on Friday, ma li latzit memena, meaning you're ending the Shabbat, going into the fast on Sunday. Now, if you're allowed to go into the fast, meaning on Shabbat afternoon, for Sunday means you're starting it on Shabbat, so therefore it's the same thing on Friday. You're ending it on Shabbat as well. Bottom line, you're fasting on Shabbat in both cases. There's an obvious difference. Amru lo, so they tell him, im amart latzet mimena shehare achal v'shata kol hayom kulo. Starting the fast on Shabbat afternoon, you just ate the whole day. So therefore, yeah, you're right, you're fasting a little on Shabbat, but you're not me'uneh. You're not hungry, you just finished eating. Are you going to make an analogy that you can go on Friday and fast to the end of the day when you didn't eat the entire day, which means the rabbis were telling you to be yosef, big difference. Big difference in starting the fast on Shabbat afternoon for Shabbat, then to end it on Friday night when you didn't eat. So comes the Gemara and says, is a Tosafot that asks over here, Stam, a question. He says that, what do you mean, the B.O.S. is saying you start the fast of Shabbat, when it comes out on Sunday, you start it on Shabbat. So he quotes an opinion of Shmuel that says, Shabbat you're allowed to eat, Ben Hashem Ashot. So technically, you really don't have to start the fast until Sunday. So Tosafot answers that you have to stop a little before because it's very hard to predict the exact moment. So therefore the Hakamim said, start a little mibayom in order that you don't run into a question. So therefore that's what he was asking. Don't you agree to that? And he said, we do agree to that. But there's a difference going into a fast or ending a fast. The Amar Ula came along and said, Halakha kerabi yoseh. Halakha indeed falls to be yoseh that mitaneh umashlim, that you fast and you complete it. Kazi Gebaran says, Umi avdinan kerabi yoseh. Do we follow Rabbi Yoseh that says, mitaneh umashlim? Why not? Gemara says, Urminhi. We have a question. En gozrin ta'anit ala sibur. Berashe Chodashim, Bahanukah Upurim. We're not allowed to make public fast days, not on Rosh Chodesh, of course, not on Hanukkah, nor on Purim. Vimitchilu en mafsikim, which is, if they started, you don't break them. What do you mean you started? Let's say the Sibur accepted upon themselves a series of fasts. It means from before, they said, we're going to fast the next month, every Monday and Thursday. The next 20 days. Monday, Thursday, whatever they accepted it upon themselves. And it turned out that Hanukkah fell into one of those days. Or Purim fell into one of those days. So now already, once they accepted it upon themselves, and then they realized that one of the days is Hanukkah, or Purim, or Rosh Chodesh, so it says, Im Mafsikim. If they know it's Rosh Chodesh, they cannot accept it. Or talk about what they didn't know, if they didn't think it was going to be Rosh Chodesh. Again, in those days, they never calendar. So the holidays would fluctuate. So therefore, they thought it'll be before Hanukkah. Turned out, when they made their acceptance, Hanukkah fell right in there. So the Halakha says what? They fast on Hanukkah. Devre Rabban Gamliel, Amar Rabbi Meir, Apatish Amar Rabban Gamliel Emafsikim, even though Rabban Gamliel says, you don't break it, meaning you fast on those days, Modeh Aya She'en Mashlimin. But he agreed that what? You don't complete the fast. Since it came out on one of these holidays, you fast, but you don't finish it. Vechen, B'Tishabi'av She'chadot Be'erim Shabbat. And furthermore, Shabbat that fell out on a Friday, the Ban Gamliel held at what? Mit'aneh ve'enu mashlim. V'tanya, we have a braita. Le'har petirato shel Rabban Gamliel. After the Ban Gamliel passed away, nichnas Rabbi Yoshua lehafer et devarav. Rabbi Yoshua got up and he wanted to nullify his words. Meaning he wanted to say, we don't go like the Ban Gamliel. Mit'aneh u'mashlim, we're going to go. He wanted to nullify the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. Ahmad Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri al raglav. So Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri got up on his feet. The Amar Hazeh Ana. He says, I see. De Batar Resha Gufa Azil. Which means, behind the head, the body goes. Meaning, the body follows the head. Read it again. Batar Resha. After the head, Gufa Azir, the body goes, meaning the head is a Ban Gamliel. And therefore he gave a psak halakha, mit'aneh ve'lo mashlim. Now you're going to come along after he dies and say, we don't go like him anymore, we follow the head. The head says, mit'aneh ve'lo mashlim, everybody is drawn after the head. Kol yamav shel Ban Gamliel kaba'anu halakha kemoto. The whole time Rabbi Yehuda was alive, we established halakha like him. But now, after he's dead, you want to nullify his words? Yeshua, in shumayin lecha. Hana Minuri told him, Yeshua, we're not listening to you. Shekeva nikbea halakha. Rabbi Gamliel finished. Halakha has been established like that. Vedohaya adam shir'ir bedavar kilum. And nobody has questioned or second-guessed his words until now. Therefore, you can't come along now and mevatel his words. And the Gemara continues, Bidoro shel Rabban Gamliel, avud ke Rabban Gamliel. The Gemara says, And Rabban Gamliel, so therefore, that's the question. Meaning the Gemara's question is, how can you tell me halakha can be Yoseh? This is Mitaneh Mashlim. We have a whole story over here that Rabban Gamliel held what? That Mitaneh Ve'enu Mashlim. And we have a whole story. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri defended the Rabban Gamliel's position against the Yoshua. So you see, it seems what? That halakha indeed is mit'aneh ve'enu mashlim. So the Gemara says, wait. Bidorosh Rabban Gamliel, avud ke Rabban Gamliel. Bidorosh Rabbi Yoseh, avud ke Rabbi Yoseh. The Gemara says, it depends what generation you're in. You're right, in the Rabban Gamliel's generation, they followed Rabban Gamliel. But in Rabbi Yoseh's generation, they followed Rabbi Yoseh. So you have no contradiction. Just because you found one generation that were mahmir, that what? That they didn't allow you to go into Shabbat. Kishu me'oneh means mit'aneh ve'enu mashlim. But Rabbi Yoseh was lenient. He said what? You can go into Shabbat. Kishu me'oneh. So therefore it's two different generations. You have no contradiction. So the Gemara says, wait. Ubdurosh Rabban Gamliel. Avur ke Rabban Gamliel. Now they're questioning, did they even follow Rabban Gamliel's opinion of mit'aneh ve'enu mashlim? Even in his generation, did they listen to him? Why? V'atanya, because we have a statement. Amar bil azar, Rabbi Sadok. Right? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Sadok said, Ani b'bnei San'av ben Binyamin. He says, I am from the family called San'av ben Binyamin, from the tribe of Binyamin. Now, let's just review over here what he's going to be referring to. The Gemara Tani tells us that there were certain families that used to donate wood to the Beit HaMikdash. And these families were very well respected as a result of it. And on the day that they would donate the wood to the Beit HaMikdash, it would be considered a Yom Tov for them. And they would celebrate. They would actually bring a special Korban called Korban Ayatzim. And those families had a tradition that on those days that their ancestors used to bring the wood to the Beit HaMikdash, they would still treat it like a Yom Tov, even after the Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadok says, I know we are from the family of San'av ben Binyamin, which was one of the families that used to donate wood to the Beit HaMikdash. Pamachat hachah be'av liyot b'shabbat. And one time Sha'a be'av fell out on a Shabbat. Now, the wood holiday for this family was on the 10th of Av. So now what happened? Chaba fell out on a Shabbat, which was the 9th day, right? Right before their holiday on the 10th. Vidahinu, they had a Shabbat. Of course, the rabbis pushed off the Chaba Av that year too. Sunday. So now it's Asara Av, but that's the same day as their Yom Tov. Vitaninu bo, and we fasted. Velo hishminu, but we did not finish the fast. Because that day was considered a Yom Tov. Now the Gemara makes it the Yuk. Tamad Yom Tov. That's only because it was the Yom Tov. I mean, the day itself was Yom Tov. Ha Erev Yom Tov. Mashlimin. Implying that if it was the day before Yom Tov, we would be Mashlim. Meaning, if let's say Chabav came out on a Tuesday, right? And their holiday was on a Wednesday. It's mashma that they would have fasted all the way to the end, because it's only going into Yom Tov. It's ahead of Yom Tov, going into the Yom Tov, implying what? That mit'aneh u'mashlim. So what do you see over here? That and the Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadok lived in the Rabban Gamliel's generation. And still you see what? That they didn't go like the Rabban Gamliel? Because the Rabban Gamliel held, you don't go into Shabbat kishu me'oneh, you don't go into Yom Tov kishu me'oneh. And here we see a rabbi that lived in his generation, that the only reason why he didn't fulfill the fast and finish it was because it was the Yom Tov itself. Mashma, Erev Yom Tov, or Erev Shabbat, mit'aneh, u'mashlim, neged, Rabban Gamliel. So they get what I'm saying. Even in the Rabban Gamliel's time, we see that they were not following it. So comes the Gemara and says, there's a difference. Amar Ravina Shani Yom Tov Shel Debrehem. There's a big difference between a Yom Tov Shel Debrehem, meaning a rabbinical Yom Tov like this Korban Etzim day. It's not a real Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov that Hachamim gave these families that brought the wood. Mitok Shemitanin Bo Sha'ot. Since you're able to fast Sha'ot on these days, Mashlimin Bo Arbiyot. And therefore you could mashlim arbiyot. You can finish, you can complete it till the night. Which means, when it comes to a Yom Tov like that, if it fell out, let's say on Tuesday, or Wednesday, the 10th of Av, that's the holiday, on Tuesday, Tisha B'Av, they're going to make them fast till the end. Why? Because even on the Yom Tov itself, they were allowed to fast. Didn't we see when it fell out on Sunday, Tisha B'Av, didn't they fast part of the day? So therefore you see already a Yom Tov Midrabanan is lenient. They allow you to even fast for a few hours on that day. Didn't the rabbi say to Rabbi Rabbi Sadok when it came out on Sunday, we fasted but we just didn't complete. So you see even on the day itself you can fast. So we're not going to be mahmir on the Erev that we're not going to allow you to go into the Yom Tov Kishuv Me'oneh, meaning you'll be able to fast the entire Tuesday until the Tuesday night, going into the Yom Tov Kishuv Me'oneh, because you're allowed to even fast on the day, partially. However, Shabbat, Ho'il Ve'en Mit'anim Basha'ot. But Shabbat, you can't even make a partial fast. Meaning on Shabbat, they don't allow you to fast even for a few hours. So therefore, en mashlimin ba arbiyot. So therefore, we don't want you to mashlim the arbiyot, meaning the night before, we don't want you to go into the fast, which means they're saying you have no proof that they didn't go like a Ben Gamliel. Just because they allowed them to go into that Yom Tov, eating before, I'm sorry, just like they allowed them to go into that Yom Tov, they made them fast to the end, there's no proof to Shabbat. It's more lenient a fast midrabanan than a Shabbat. And what's the proof? On a fast midrabanan like this Tani Yom Tov, this Yom Tov of the Etzim, you would be allowed to even fast on the day. Shabbat, when they pushed Shabbat out to the 10th, they fasted on that day. So we're not going to be so mahmir, we'll let you even now, if the fast came the day before, go to the end. However, Shabbat, where you don't make a Tani Shaot, even a Tani for a few hours, therefore we're going to be mahmir on the Erev, that you shouldn't go into Shabbat, Kishu Me'oneh. We're mahmir on the day, therefore we're going to be mahmir on Arbiyot. Arbiyot means the night before, that you should not go into Shabbat also, Kishu Me'oneh. So comes Gemara and says, so therefore you see they did go like Rabban Gamliel in his time. Amar of Yosef, lo shami'a li ha shmata. He says, I never heard this halakha that Ula said. Ula said above halakha k'rabi Yosef. That what? Mit'aneh u'mashlim. So Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, I never heard that Ula say this halakha over here. So Amar Abaye, at Amart Nihalan. So what are you talking about? You told it to us. You have to remember, Rabbi Yosef went blind at the end of his life. And therefore a lot of the Devre Torah he forgot. So therefore Abaye reminds him and says, you forgot that Ula said halakha k'rabi Yosef? You were the one that told it to us. And where did you tell it to us? Ve'aha Amart Nihalan. And on this you told it to us. On the bright that it said, you don't make a gezerah of a tanit on Rosh Chodesh and on Hanukkah and on Purim, and then you said on this, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zu Devre Rabbi Meir Sha'amar Mishum Rabban Gamliel. Yeah, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir that said in the name of Rabban Gamliel, that what? That if you did make the fast already, so then you fast on the day, but what? Eno Mashlim. Aval hachamim umrim mit'aneh u'mashlim. But the rabbis say mit'aneh u'mashlim. Now this was Rabbi Yosef quoting all this. He said you should know that braita that's only going like Rabban Gamliel. He says if you made the fast on Rosh Chodesh, on Hanukkah, on Purim, you shouldn't have. But if you did establish it, mit'aneh ve'en u'mashlim. So Rabbi Yosef said you should know that's only the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. But hachamim argue. Now who's the hachamim? Obviously it's Rabbi Yosef. And the way Rabbi Yosef referred to Rabbi Yosef was hachamim. Hachamim is the majority opinion. Which is obviously meaning what? that the majority opinion argue on, Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore halakha must be like Rabbi Yosef. So therefore they're telling Rabbi Yosef, what are you talking? You told us that the halakha follows Rabbi Yosef from the fact that you said, v'hachamim omrim, mit'aneh, u'mashlim. So how are you saying I never heard this halakha? You told it to us. So comes the Gemara and says, ma'ilat akunehu. And when you said the halakha, that hakamim say, mit'aneh u'mashlim, it must have been going on all the cases. What are all the cases in that belaita? Hanukkah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, and Erev Chabeav Shehaliyot Be'Erev Shabbat. When Chabeav came out on Erev Shabbat, which means Mit'aneh Mashlim. You fast the whole Friday. It's going on all the cases. So comes the Gemara and says, no, a Hanukkah Upurim. It's not going on that case. It's only going on Hanukkah and Purim that he'll say Mit'aneh Mashlim. But could be on the case of going into Shabbat, like the Shabbat on Friday, Inuch and Amel agree, Mitaneh ve'enu mashlim. So you have no proof. We're trying to prove going into Shabbat. So he says, what do you mean? You were the one that told us, V'chachamim umrim, Mitaneh mashlim. On what cases? On every case in the Braita? I think it's only going on the cases of the Braita of Hanukkah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh. But Inuch and Amel, Shabbat that falls out on Friday, even Achamim will agree what? Mitaneh ve'enu mashlim. So comes again and says, Hachin Amel mistabra. It makes sense to say that. That he was not referring to the Shabbat case. Why? Because if you think that he was saying it on everything, again, because in that night that said, Amar Rabbi Uda Amar Rav, Zud Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Uda Amar Rav was talking. These are the words of Rabbi Meir, that in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, that says, Mitaneh Ve'enu Mashlim. But Hachamim come along and say, that Mitaneh Umashlim. It makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, that defined the Mahloket, was only Legabe Hanukkah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh, but not Legabe Shabbat on Friday. Why? Gemara says, Dihisa Kadadaka Kodehu, because if you think it's going on all the cases, Haba Amine Ravam Rav Yehuda, Vedo Pashatle. If you remember, how did our Gemara start off today? The Gemara started off asking Rabbi Yehuda a question. What's the deen if you're fasting on Friday? Do you have to finish it or not? And what did the Gemara say? He didn't know. What do you mean he didn't know? If Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav was making the whole, explaining the whole mahloket and saying, V'achamim omrim mit'aneh u'mashlim, and it's referring to even Tshabi Avanei Friday, so you don't answer. Hakamim say mit'aneh u'mashlim, because you do go into Shabbat kishu me'onen, if you have no word. Why didn't you know the answer? Ela must be that he didn't have an opinion on what the Hakamim held on going into Shabbat. The statement of Hakamim Omrim Mitaneh Mashim was only on Hanukkah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. So when they asked him the question of Gabe going into Shabbat, no have Abi Adi. So it makes sense to learn that way. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it. According to that, understand the way you're learning over here. Ha de darash morzutra mishemed ravuna. We have a derasha that morzutra taught in the name of ravuna. Halakha mitaneh u'mashlim. Interesting. Ravuna taught mitaneh u'mashlim. Now, if you remember earlier in the Gemara, they also asked ravuna originally, what's the deen? The gabeh mitaneh u'mashlim on Friday, and the Gemara said, lo hava b'yadeh. So the Gemara says, "Haba amine rabba miravuna v'do pashatle." You can ask the same question on Ravuna. At one point, he's saying, "Morsutra is quoting him and saying what that Ravuna holds indeed mitaneh u'mashlim." When they asked him, he didn't know. So how are you going to answer that? Ela hamikamed shama'a v'halabata shama'a. You have to say that it was different points in his life. Before he heard the halakha, he didn't know. And then at a later point in his life, Ravuna found out that the halakha is indeed mitaneh u'mashlim, and therefore Morsutra called him. So just like in Ravuna, you can explain that the lo hava b'yadeh and his halakha happened at different stages. I can say the same thing with Rabbi Yehuda. Ha'chanameh, ha'mikameh d'shamayeh, ha'lebatar d'shamayeh. Which means, I'll come along and say, don't ask a question on Rav Yehuda either. At the point when the Gemara started, when they asked Rav Yehuda, the guy's fasting on Erev, so does he finish or not? That was before he heard the statement. However, after he heard the statements that indeed say what? Mitaneh u'mashlim, he answered it. So therefore, you can, just like Rav Huna is before and after. Rav Yehuda is also before and after. Od pam, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav in the Braita that this shita that says mitane ve'enu mashlim is Rabbi Meir in the name of Rabbi Gamliel. But Hachamim want to say what? Mitane u'mashlim. Oh, so you know what's mitane u'mashlim. You know the deen. So Ela, what do you want to say? But when we asked you earlier, you didn't know. So just like when we came to Rav Huna, we'll say it's before you knew and after you knew. And Rav Yehuda, we could say also it's before and after. And indeed, the Braita was referring to Hakamim Shita on Shabbat on Friday, and this question was Hakamim did say Mitane u'Mashlim, and that's what Rav Yehuda was coming to teach us. And what? Before he didn't know, and after he found the statement, he didn't know. And the Gemara concludes because of that, that Ashmo Zutam Shavid Rav Huna Halacha Mitanin Umashlin. And that's indeed the Halacha. Now this comes up, the Halacha, in the case, for example, on Asara B'Tebet, which is the only fast really today that, according to the calendar, can come out on a Friday. And the Halakha says, and we had it a few years ago. And the Halakha says what? Mitanei Mashlim. Which means we don't break our fast right before Shabbat. We pray Ardit. After we go home, we make Kiddush. And we break our meal on the Shabbat. It's because we indeed follow the Halakha of Mitanei Mashlim. Comes out on Friday. Asara B'Tebet comes out on Friday. I'm telling you the facts. Asara B'Tebet can come out on Friday. And therefore, the halakha is you do fast the whole Friday and you go into Shabbat fasting, because the halakha is mitaneh u'mashlim. Hadran alach bakol me'arbin. I should point out that there's an interesting shita of the Tosafot over. If you want to look at it quickly, look at the Tosafot be'ilcheta. Mitaneh u'mashlim pirush. Im yirtzeh lehashlim, deshare lehashlim. Tosfot learns when the Gemara says that mitaneh u'mashlim, it means you have the option if you want to be mashlim. Because the whole question was, are you allowed to or not? But really, you don't have to, according to Tosfot. He's telling you, you just have a right. If the guy wanted to continue his fast until the Shabbat, he can. But lema'aseh, we learn it, that indeed you must fast until the Shabbat. That is the halakha lema'aseh. Now we start the new perek. Is that the Shem? The fourth perek, Misho Tziuhu. Again, this perek's basic topic is the law of Eruv Tehumin. Again, we talked about a person having 2,000 amot outside of his city, placing an Eruv, it gives him an additional 2,000 amot from that spot. Now we're going to discuss in the first Mishnah, what about a case of a guy that went beyond his Tchum on Shabbat? So once a person goes beyond his tchum on Shabbat, so obviously he's in a forbidden area over there, and he's not allowed to walk anymore. Hakamim only gave him 4 amot, which means he's only allowed to walk 4 amot. Now why would a guy walk out of the tchum on Shabbat? Either because Sam the guy didn't care, and then all of a sudden when he got out, he said, oh, I'm outside my tchum, now what do I do? You're stuck. Your rabbis gave you very limited walking. Or it could be a case where, like we're going to learn in the beginning of the Mishnah, they took him out. Goyim kidnapped a guy on Shabbat, brought him outside the tomb. Now they left him there. Now he's there on Shabbat. Now what does he do? He's stuck. So the question is, does he have 4 amot or do we let him walk back inside? So the Gemara is going to give different cases of a guy that got out of his 2,000 amot, and the case is he limited to the 4 amot or not? And the Mishnah begins. Mi shotziuhu nochrim. Right, goyim kidnapped the guy, and they took him outside the tchum on Shabbat. Or ruach ra'a. That she says a demon entered the guy, meaning he was possessed by a shed, and the guy went crazy, and he ran out of the tchum. After he ran out of the tchum, he became sane again. So now he wants to know, what does he do now? He's outside the tomb. So the Gemara says, "En lo ela arba amot." So the deen is, he only gets 4 amot. Bottom line, you're outside the tomb. I don't care if you went out be honest. In the case of the goyim to come out, it was against his control. The guy went crazy. It's out of his control. Still, he only gets the 4 amot. And the Gemara is going to discuss exactly how do you calculate the 4 amot. Is it 4 amot on each side? Is it 2 amot? On each side, that's Gemara is going to discuss how you calculate the 4 amot. But the point is, for the Mishnah, it's a limited area that he has. He cannot just now walk wherever he wants. Hehaziruhu. Now let's say the goyim, according to the simple understanding of the Mishnah, brought him back. Just like they forced him out, they brought him back in. So the Gemara says, Ke'ilu lo yatsa. We consider it as if he never left. And therefore when he gets back to his city, he can walk the entire city. He's like he was there in the first place. Just like in a city you're allowed to walk the whole entire area. Mm-hmm. So too, when they bring him back, we don't say, well, once you went out and you came back, and since you considered it out. No. Since he went out and they brought him back, it is okay. Now she says, Ki'ilu lo yatsa ba'ari koda idlo. Kedal ramot ke betechilam. The whole city is considered four amot to him. Meaning, he can walk the entire city. It's also, he has 2,000 amah. Each direction outside the city. It's like the status before. Nothing changes. Now, holichu le'ir acheret. Let's say they brought the guy, the goyim, let's say, brought the guy, the Jew, to another city. Now she says the other city was mukefet choma. There was a wall around the city. So they brought him to a walled city. Netanu bedir or besahar. Or they brought him into, let's say, a deer, like a pen, where they put the animals, which is also walled. Or besahar. Besahar is also an enclosed area, corral. Okay? Rabban Gamliel v'Rabbi Eladam Azeh Omrim mehalech et kula. So they have a leniency, these rabbis. They say he can walk the whole area. Because since they put him into an area that was walled, the whole area is considered like for amot, so he can walk the entire city. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Amrim, En lo ela arba amot. They say, no, once they take him out of the tomb, even if they bring him into a city that's walled, it doesn't matter. They only get four amot in that city, so he's also limited. Ma'aseh, we have a story. Sheba'u mefelna dirsin. That's a place that she says. Vefliga sefinatam bayam. Which means the rabbis were on a boat on Shabbat. And the boat was going out into the ocean, going into the middle of the ocean. When a boat goes into the middle of the ocean from the port, it's called Haflaga. So what happened? The boat on Shabbat was leaving the port now, and it was going into the middle of the ocean. Rabban Gamliel ben Azam ben Azariah halchu et kula. So the rabbis, Rabban Gamliel ben Azam ben Azariah, they walked on the entire boat. Now, even though the boat left the tomb on Shabbat, since the boat is enclosed, their shita is that if you're in an enclosed area, the enclosed area is considered what? For amot. Therefore, they allowed themselves to walk the entire boat. Again, the boat started on the port. Now it's going out. So you're going out of the tomb. So on Shabbat, they left the tomb. So the deen is over here, you left the tomb, and now you only get four amot, but they were on a boat. The boat is enclosed. The boat is enclosed. The shitatam, an enclosed area, you get the whole area. However, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, they were also on the boat. Lo zazu medalet amot. They did not leave, walk out of there for amot. Sheratzu lahmir al atzman. Because they wanted to be mahmir. And the question is, what do you mean mahmir? If the shita is that even in an enclosed area, you're stuck. So this is not a humrah. This is a deen. So the Gemara is going to ask, what was the humrah over here? Pa'amachat lo nichnesu l'namal ad shachecha. Another story, the boat did not pull into the port until hashecha, until it got dark. Now, the question they wanted to know was, where was the boat going into Shabbat? If the boat was outside the tomb going into Shabbat, so therefore they were outside the tomb, outside the area, they were 2,000 amah away from the port, therefore now they were outside, technically they're stuck, they can't get off the boat. Now if they're within 2,000 amot of the port going into Shabbat, they're considered already in the city. So they wanted to know what exactly to do. So it says, Ba'amahat lo nechlusu damal achashecha, Amru Rabban Gamliel, Ma'anu lirid, can we get off the boat? Are we considered part of the city and then we can walk in the city? Amar lahen mutarim atem. It's permissible. Why? Shekevar hayiti mistakel. Because I was already looking, as Shabbat was coming, I was looking towards the port. Vahinu betuch hatchum atchul hashecha. And we were within the boundaries of the city before it got dark, and therefore we're considered part of the city, therefore we can get off the boat, and we are allowed to walk. Comes the Gemara now, and starts. Tanu Rabbanan. Shlosha devarim ma'avirim et ha'adam al da'ato ve'al da'at kono. There are three things that cause a person to go against his own better judgment, his own wisdom, ve'al da'at kono, and to rebel against his creator. Three things cause a person to do things that are against normal logic, and also to go against God. What are these three things? Elohim. Of the kochavim. Chas v'shalom, if a goy comes along and kidnaps a Jew, so then already they force him to do things against his will, and also they cause him to make averot, avodah zarah, etc. So therefore, when the person is in a situation where he's taken by the goyim, that can cause him to transgress the mitzvot. That's the way the Ben Ish Chai explains it in his Sefer Benayahu. Comes again and says, "Veruach ra'a." Okay, obviously, ruach ra'a means when he's possessed by a demon or a spirit. So the guy goes crazy. He does things against better judgment than against God. V'diktuke aniyut. And when a person has a strong level of poverty, not just regular poverty, diktuke aniyut is poverty on a strong level. So comes again and says, "Lemay nafkamina." What's the nafkamina? Which means the Gemara is giving us a fact over here. You know, these three things, guy's in trouble. So what's the nafkamina? Gemara says, "Limbe be'er hame alayhu." In order to pray. Now the Mefashim explained two understandings over here. Either, since you know these situations are very bad, pray that you don't get into these situations. Which means nafkamina, you gotta pray that God does not put you in a situation where you're captured by the goyim, or that you lose your mind with shedim, or that you have chazam diktuke aniyut. Or another explanation is like this. Pray for others that are in that situation. Why? Because one of the interpretations is, when the people are in this situation, they're so preoccupied, they can't pray with kavana. Person has diktuke aniyut. He can't have kavana when he's praying. He's thinking about his debts. He's thinking about surviving. So therefore, since they now have the clear mind to pray, the Gemara is saying, pray for them in order to get them out of the situation. Then the Gemara says, Shlosha en ro'in p'nei Gehinnam. There are three people that do not see the face of Gehinnam. Elohim. Diktuke aniyut. Vechole me'ayin. Which means somebody that's suffering tremendous poverty, it's mechaper avonot. That's already kapara in this world. People that have intestinal problems, that's a big yisurim for them. And also hareshut. Hareshut means right. People that owe money to the creditors, and therefore the creditors are omed on them, and they're coming after them, the noshim, and therefore he has no it's kapara for him. Ve'yesh omrim af mi sheyesh lo isha ra'a. And some come along and say that a guy that has a bad wife, also he's not going to see the face of Gehinnam. Now what does it mean over here, isha ra'a? So different explanations over here. Either she's a isha she'ena tzinwa, meaning she's not listening to follow the laws of tziniyut over there, or she's fighting and things like that, or she's causing her husband a lot of grief just in general. So that's already mechaper for his avonot. Therefore, there's no gehinnam for such a person. Hakam Baruch, Alav Hashem, used to always tell us a maaseh of a fellow that was married, and his wife was a marsha'at. His wife was very, very bad to him, and caused him all sorts of problems. So they once went to a couple's class, and they heard the rabbi say this gemara, that ishara, the husband does not see p'nei Gehinnam. So when they came home that night, she was nice to him, and she served him dinner, and she dressed up for him, and she said, what happened to you? She says, you think I'm going to let you go to Gan Eden? In any event, the Gemara says, V'idach, but what about the other rabbi? The other rabbi didn't include Isha Ra'ah. So the Gemara says, V'idach, Isha Ra'ah mitzvah negaresha. He says, on the contrary, Isha Ra'ah, kibba, get rid of her. She's not, according to Shulchan Aruch, Isha, like that, you're allowed to divorce her. V'idach, so the other rabbi, If your other rabbi holds, you count it. What do you mean, divorce her? No, zimnin dechtuvata merubah. Sometimes she has a very costly ketubah, and therefore it's not so easy to divorce. You have to pay the ketubah. Iname itle banim mina velo matze megaresh la. Or sometimes it's children. Once it is children, the Gemara assumes it as a given that you cannot get divorced because the children are gonna suffer. It's a very interesting insight from the Gemara over here. The Gemara takes it as a fact that if there's children, divorce is not an option. And therefore, that's what it's saying, it's mechaper. Lemay nafkamina, what's nafkamina on these things? Lekabune me'ahaba. To accept it be'ahaba. When these things happen to you, meaning, not to you. When it happens to somebody, or ishara, or reshut, meaning he has debt. In this case, over accepted the ahaba. That she explains, then it will be mechaper da'avonot. Only when you accept it, then already it serves as a kapara. But if you don't accept it, then already it's not considered like we learned in the second berachot. Ma asham la'da'at, af yisurim la'da'at. Just like a korban asham has to be brought with the intent and the agreement of the owners, so to Yisurin, when the person gets them, if he accepts them willingly, then already they have the ability to atone. Gemara says, Shelosha metim kishem mesapirim. There are three people that die suddenly, even when they're in the middle of talking. Meaning in the middle of talking, all of a sudden, they have a sudden death. Who are these people? Ve'eluin, chole me'ayin. Somebody also has intestinal problems. Ve'haya, that's a lady that just gave birth, which means she's in sakana. Ve'hadroken, somebody that has, they call it in English, they call it dropsy. It's a holy that comes from the stomach all the way into the up into their mouth and so on and so forth. What do you have to know this for? Kabbalah says, "Lemishmushe behu zavdata." So that she says, in order to prepare the shrouds, which means you have to know that these people are in sakana, and therefore have the shrouds ready, because Chas v'Shalom something bad can happen. Which means they're telling the people over here, make the shubah over here, permanent. People are in sakana in these cases over here to prepare the shrouds, meaning prepare yourself that something can happen, and therefore be ready to make the teshubah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shemuel. Comes the Gemara and says, the name of Rav Nachman and the name of Shemuel. Yatsa lada'at. Let's say a guy goes out of this tchum on Shabbat willingly. We didn't have that case in the Mishnah. Our case is where the goyim took him out, or he became possessed, and he went out because he went crazy. Our case of the Mishnah was all onus. This case of his, the guy willingly went outside of his tomb. En lo ela arba amot. Finished. He only gets 4 amot. Give us his pshita. What's the question? Hashta misho tziun nochrim en lo ela arba amot. Yatsa ladat mebaya. In a case where he was brought out against his will, he only gets 4 amot. In a case where he goes willingly, or the more so, are we going to reward him? Of course he's only going to get 4 amot. He's not going to be better than the guy that went out against his will. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema, let's say a case like this. Hazar Ladat Eno Ela Dalet Amot. He went out and then he came back. Only going to get 4 amot in his city. Even though he came back. So the Gemara says, Ha name tanina. We know that already from our Mishnah. How? It says, Hihaziru nochrim kiilu lo yatsa. Which means, when the goyim brought him back in, then we consider it what? As if he never left, and he can walk the whole city. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Hihaziru dechiilu lo yatsa. Aval. That's only when the goyim brought him back. However, when he came back himself, that's going to be worse. Why did the Mishnah give us a case only where the goyim brought him back? Implying what? Only when the goyim brought him back, it's considered what? He never left. But if he himself came back, it's going to be considered only four months. That's also pashut. So Rav Nachman, what were you trying to teach us over here? So Gemara says, Ela Ema. Say it like this. Yatsa ladat, the case of Rav Nachman was, he went out willingly, Ve'aziruhu nukhrim, and the goyim brought him back. Then we didn't have that case in the Mishnah. Here, he went out willingly, And then all of a sudden the Goyim grabbed him, and they brought him back in. Ein lo ela dalet amot. Only a four amot. So the Gemara says, wait. Hana metanina. We can also deduce that case from Al Mishnah. How? Hotziu vehaziruhu kiilu lo yatsa. Because the Mishnah's case was only talking about what? Where they brought him out, and they brought him back. It was both ways.
Round trip.
Then we say what? Then we say kiilu lo yatsa, implying what? Hotziu veyaziru hu dechilu lo yatsa. Aval yatsa ladat lo. But in this case over here, where it was only one way, meaning he went out and they brought him back. From the Mishnah, you learn what? Eno ela dalal amot. So basically, what the Gemara is trying to do over here is, Rav Nachman, whatever case you were trying to teach us, the Mishnah really, either it's pashut from the Mishnah or it's deduced from the Mishnah. What were you talking about? So the Gemara says, "Ma'u detema litzdadin ketani." I would have thought that the Mishnah was referring to only one side and not both sides. Meaning, we read, "Mi shotziu nochrim vehazar ladat." I would have learned the Mishnah like this. When the Mishnah says, Mishi Hotsi'u Nochrim, right? When the Mishnah says, Eno Ela Dalet Amot, I'll tell you the case is like this. They took him out, he went back in. That's the first case. And I'll learn in that case you have Dalet Amot. However, Aval Yatsa Ladat, but when he went out, Ladad ve'aziru nochrim ki'ilu lo yatsa. I might think only the Mishnah was talking about one side. What side? They took him out, he came back. They took him out, he came back. Arba amot. But I would say the other side of the equation, where he went out and they brought him back, maybe he gets dole city. Comes Rav Nachman and says, no. Kamash malan that what? You also only get for amot. Now look at Nashi. Look at Nashi Ma'ud Tema. Nashi just gives you the exact way I would have thought to learn the Mishnah. Ma'ud Tema. Matnitin l'stadin ketani. I would have learned the Mishnah as referring to one side. How? V'haziru desefa. When the Mishnah says, and they brought him back. Milta ba'apin nafshehi. That's a separate case. It's not going back to the first case. Meaning, don't learn the Mishnah. Goyim took him out and then brought him back. The second case they brought him back is a new case. It's not referring to when they brought him out and now they brought him back. It's two separate cases. Like this. If the Goyim brought him out, no matter how he gets back, case number one. Now, Ubishaya Hutz Tatum. Now a guy that went out outside the tum, he went himself, let's say, Ve'azinu Nochrim, and the Goyim brought him back. Ben Shaita Yitziaturi Shula Ladaat, Ben Shelo Ladaat, Ela Be'onis, Havi Ki'ilu, Lo Yatsa. And therefore, I would have thought that when he went out, and then they brought him back, it's Ki'ilu Lo Yatsa. Kamash malan of Nachman? No. Even in that case. And therefore, what was the case of the Mishnah then? The case of the Mishnah that said you get the whole city is only when the Goyim took him out and the Goyim brought him back. But if he went out, no matter how he came back, he's only going to get Arba Mishnah. I could have learned from the Mishnah that case you get the whole city. Because I could have learned the second case of the Mishnah when it says, Hey Haziru. What's the case of Haziru? I would say, yeah, a case where he walked out,
and they just brought him back.
And they brought him back. He gets the whole city. No. The case of Haziru is only in the case where they were Hotziu. Where they were Hotziu, and then the Haziru, then you get the whole city. But if he went out on his own, no matter how he gets back, the lunches you get from it. So that is the Hadush of Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara asks one more question. Gemara asks the question, Ba'u minem Rabba. That a question I asked from Rabba. Hutzlach l'nekabav mahu. The guy now is outside the tum, but he has to go to the bathroom. So now, you're only giving him four amot. Now, she says, what case are we talking about? Ze shotziu nochrim. that she, for some reason, which we'll see in a moment, learning specifically the case is where the goyim took him out. Now we just learned in the Mishnah, when the goyim take you out, you only get four amot. So the she'ela is now, he's stuck. But he has to go to the bathroom. There is no bathroom within four amot to the guy. So what does he do? So the Gemara says, Amar lahem gadol kavod ha-beriyot shenochei et lo ta'aseh shebatorah. Kavod ha-beriyot, the respect for the guy, that he shouldn't have to be humiliated now, he has to find the bathroom. So that has the ability to even override a lo ta'aseh in the Torah. Which lo ta'aseh? The Torah says, lo ta'asur min ha-davar asher yagidu lecha. Torah gives us a warning. Do not stray from the words of the rabbis. Meaning, we have to listen to Hakamim. Now according to the Shita, Eruv Tehomin is the Rabbanan, from the rabbis. Where do we have to listen to the rabbis? Lot Asur. That love of Lot Asur is overridden when it comes to Kavod HaBeriyot. So really what they're telling the guy is, walk. Just go to the closest bathroom over there and you have no problem. So comes the Gemara and says like this. Amri Nehardei. Nehardei says like this. Ipikeyahu. If the guy's smart, ayil l'tchuma v'chavan de'al al, which means if he's smart and has to go to the bathroom, so the rabbis let him go outside his arba amot, let him go into a city. Let him go into an area that's enclosed into a tchum of a city. Then already, once he gets in there, he'll be able to walk
around the city,
the whole entire city. So that's, now we understand why does she pick the case of Hotsiuhu. Because in a case where he went out himself, we're not going to give him this leniency that once he walks into the tomb of a different city, to walk around the whole city. Only in a case where Goyim took him out, where he was honest, now he has to go to the bathroom, we'll give you the leniency that if he can walk into the tomb of a certain city where the bathroom is, then we'll give him the entire city. So that she was very precise. Only in a case of Otsiun Nochrim will we allow him this leniency of going to the closest city, then once you're getting into the city, walk the whole city after you finish going to the bathroom. But if it was a case where he walked out himself, true, we'd allow him to walk back to the tomb, to the bathroom. But after that, he's stuck. Because he went out of the tomb himself. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.